Sometimes people think they just want, hey, get me on the news. Well, you know what? Do something good. Do something important. Help somebody out. Do something that's worthy of getting news coverage. This is one thing a lot of people don't get. They don't understand that they actually have to do something worthy of being covered.
You're listening to Real Marketing Real Fast, the only podcast that brings you unfiltered, undaunted, insider information on the latest tools and technologies for online marketers. Prepare to dive deep into marketing myths, breakthrough models, and cutting-edge strategies that will have an immediate impact on the growth of your business. And now, here's your host, marketing expert Doug Morneau.
Well, welcome back, listeners, to another episode of Real Marketing Real Fast. Today, I've got in studio joining me Scott Lorenz, and he is a book publicist. I met Scott at the New Media Summit in San Diego, and we just hit it off and had a great conversation one morning over breakfast. He is the president of West Wind Communications, a public relations and marketing firm that has a special knack for working with authors to help them get all the publicity they deserve and more. He works with best-selling authors and self-published authors promoting all types of books, whether it's their first book or their 15th book. He's handled publicity for books by CEOs, CIA agents, Navy SEALs, homemakers, fitness gurus, doctors, lawyers, and adventurers. His clients have been featured by Good Morning America, Fox and Friends, CNN, ABC News, New York Times, Nightline, Time, PBS, LA Times, USA Today, Washington Post, Women's World, Howard Stern, just to name a few. I think that's actually quite a lot, and I would suggest that you take out your pen and paper and take some notes as we dive in with Scott on how to do a good job with your marketing, whether it's your business or your book. So welcome to the podcast this morning.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you for that lovely introduction, too.
Well, I don't think you could have written that any better.
It's what PR guys do, you know, right. Put a spin on everything. That's our job.
So. Well, you just don't leave it the chance. I would say it's really less about that and just being prepared to make sure that it's done the way you need to have it done.
Sure.
So is there anything left out or anything you want to fill in the blanks, any changes since we last chatted?
Well, I tell you, everything is changing all the time, and what the techniques and tactics that work today will not work down the road and in the future. And things that we did 10 years ago are laughable today. Like, we used to send out press releases by fax. Well, who used the fax machine? At the time when that was going, in the 80s, that was really a cool thing. It was like, wow, fax machines. Nobody, that was the way to do it. But everything's changing and email is becoming less effective. And now social media obviously is terrific. And it's amazing how it all keeps evolving. So,
but even the social space is changing. If you look at all the changes with Facebook and Google and Twitter with their restrictions on advertising and the change in their algorithms, that world's changing as well.
It's a moving target and you've really got to stay on top of it. And that's what I do as a marketing guy and PR guy. I stay on top of it and it's best I possibly can. And I do things like, go to things like this, the Podcasters Convention where we met in San Diego, and to stay cutting edge as best as we possibly can. There's so many different things out there that need to be known and understood. And if you don't know it, you're going to, first of all, waste money. Secondly, spend money on things that don't work, so.
Yeah, no, I get that. I tell people the reason they hire me is I know more things that don't work than they do.
Yeah, because we've tried them all. We really have. I don't care if it's advertising on a blimp or a billboard or on a banner towing plane or pay-per-click Google or Facebook advertising. I've done every type that I could think of. So.
So do you want to share a breakthrough or a major success you've had using and maybe share what tactic you use to achieve that for either your business or a client?
Right. So besides working with authors, I also work with lawyers and doctors. And one of the tactics that I think is like the coolest thing right now, and that's called geofencing, G-E-O fencing. So let's say that there are people that go to a football game, your local university football game, and there's 10,000 or 50,000 people at the game. Your iPhone and your smartphone is giving away your location all the time. And even when you think it's off, it's still giving it away. It pings the towers, cell phone towers, transmitting information about where you are. You have Google Maps, you're pinging it. You got a phone call you're waiting for, you hear something from a babysitter, you're broadcasting your location. And what the technique is to capture the people that are transmitting, and of the 50,000 people in a stadium, hey, pick a number, say 30,000 are, you have their phones active and are pinging out info. And so now you can capture those people and what they call this geofence, and then later serve up an advertisement to them that says, hey, you know, if you like the, you know, football game, after the game, come to, you know, Leo's Coney Island and get a free Coney, or whatever the offer is. Or maybe those are people that are super local. And obviously, if they, you know, most people that are going to go to a football game, or unless they're the opposing team, are at least supporters of that team. So maybe you could serve up an ad that's relevant to that market and that the fact that they attended this football game. So you can do that with all kinds of things. People are being served up ads when they go to a car dealer. You go to a Ford dealer, next thing you know, the Chrysler dealer ad pops up on your screen. Okay, that's part of geofencing. It's going on. It's happening to all of us. And just now you'll be thinking about it when you see those ads that are popping up. You say, how do they know I was looking for a truck?
That's,
you know,
funny. I really didn't want you to share that. I mean, we're deeply involved in that space as well. We're just not talking about it. No, just joking.
I've actually been doing it for over a year.
Yeah.
And I have not talked about it.
Yeah.
But I think the cat's kind of out of the bag a little bit. But I had a 1 year to utilize it for my clients, and we've been crushing it. So, you know, but the word's out. Nothing lasts forever.
No, that's true. And, you know, it's really cool because you're right. You can take that same person from the football game and you can actually track them to see if you get a conversion in your store.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I think it's the coolest thing I've come across in quite a while.
Yeah, me too. I think that's definitely where the industry is going, which is moving pretty fast. So if you think that Facebook's moving fast, wait till you start looking at all the opportunities for geofencing and following people around with where they are and what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, it's kind of creepy. I mean, I don't think we know. I know that we don't know the individual at the individual granular level, but that's not available to marketers, and it shouldn't be. Okay, so we don't know it's Joe Blow, you know, in XYZ, you know, city that went to the football game. It's just that phone went to that football game. Okay, so.
Yeah, and if it makes people, listeners, feel any better, it's really called an advertising ID. So if you have a smartphone, you can go see what your advertising ID is, and you can turn it off or leave it on. I prefer you leave it on so we can make sure we serve you relevant ads that are more suited to what you're doing. And you can also change that number. So if you're getting a bunch of ads from people that you're not happy with, you can actually go refresh that number and start anew. So there you go.
And I think that, you know, what's in it for the consumer? Okay, let's talk about that, because that's important. People just think, oh my God, it's a creepy deal. It really isn't. I mean, okay, as men, how many feminine hygiene product ads have you seen in your lifetime? Probably way too many, and more than you ever want to see, because it's a product you're never going to use, Doug. I'm never going to use it. And I'm never going to tell my significant other, hey, I just saw this ad on the XYZ brand. You should buy that. It would never. It was so.
I'm not waiting into this one.
It stops irrelevant ads being delivered to you, and there's a million of them like that. There's all kinds of ads. You're saying, why am I seeing this ad? Well, because they haven't been doing things like geofencing. And as the chairman of Procter & Gamble once said 50 years ago, when asked how his advertising was doing, he says, "Well, half of it works. The problem is we don't know which half." You know.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. And hopefully today, as we're getting smarter and technology is racing ahead, we're getting smarter at knowing what works and what doesn't work so we can make adjustments and move forward.
Exactly. Exactly.
So what are you most excited about in the next 6 to 12 months? I mean, you work in the space with authors and with private practice. So tell us a bit about publishing and what you're doing to help people, have some sort of success once they've published or they're in that process.
Well, yes. So I'm in the public, the PR business, book marketing and book promotion and book publicity. The most effective thing you can get for any product, I don't care what it is free publicity. If you're on the, you know, Good Morning America with your product or service or business or book or whatever, there's a good chance your phone's going to ring off the hook or people are going to go to your online store and order the heck out of that product or whatever. And that is the difference between getting free PR and then having to buy an ad. You can't afford to buy an ad. Most people can't on the Good Morning America show. okay, just in Detroit here alone, just that's where I'm in the market, and I buy ads for some of my clients in the non-book area, we're spending $450 for Good Morning America or the other, like the Today Show, for a 30-second ad, and that's just in one market, Detroit. So it kind of gives you an idea that it's, you know, this is not cheap stuff, and you can't sell enough books and pay, you can't afford as an author to buy that type of space or buy those advertising. On a national level, it's in the tens of thousands. So the free publicity can really change your life. So people hire my firm, Westwind Communications Book Marketing, and we work to get our clients all the free publicity they can possibly get. I mean, sometimes some books are really good. You know, some authors are good at getting publicity, but most are not. It's not their area of expertise. So that's what we do. We go, try to get our clients on TV, radio, newspaper, magazines. We get book reviews, radio interviews, Facebook promotion, and LinkedIn promotion, promotion on Twitter, wherever we can get some traction. And that's our job. And like I say, the most effective effective advertising is the free stuff. And that's the free publicity where somebody from a TV show is interviewing you and they're, and you have that opportunity to talk about your book, your product, your service. And then that's sort of like the TV, the interview becomes like a third party endorsement. And so it's like, wow, if you're good enough to be on Good Morning America, you must be good enough to be someone that I could do business with. Okay, so you get that endorsement aspect. So that's what we do. That's what it, that is the whole point of getting free publicity, is to get business in when you can't afford advertising.
Well, and I think even if you can't afford advertising, I call it earned media. And I think, like you said, even if I'm spending dollars, I get a bigger lift from a small article in a paper, as an example, than I do from buying a half page of advertising, because it's editorialized and there's a higher trust there with that content because it's come from a third party. It's not me talking about me, it's somebody else talking about me.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's why people pay me to go out and get this, you know, get them the free publicity. And what I do to stay relevant and on top of the whole thing is to attend major national events where I meet the media. I was just in New York a couple of weeks ago pitching the producers from Good Morning America, the Today Show, people from Investor's Business Daily, freelance writers for all types of publications, every single publication you could possibly think of. We were out there in effect pitching them, because we're pitching the freelance writers or even the editors of everything, you know, Parent Magazine for a kid's book. You know, we pitch various agents, certain types of clients who are actually connected to the publishing industry, who can place a book with, you know, Random House or some of the big companies like Hachette or, you know, John Wiley and Company, and people can get a, you know, publishing deal out of it. But that's what we have to stay, we have to be diligent in pursuing these things and staying cutting edge with the, with our contacts and with our methods to reach these people. So
what's the biggest myth about this tactic? So, you know, it sounds great. I'm thinking, you know, our listeners are thinking, hey, that'd be great if I could be on the Good Morning Show, but I'm sure there's a few stepping stones before you go from never done media to TV. So what do you think the biggest myths are that may be holding people back, or just disbelief in this whole approach?
Well, I think that people can envision themselves being interviewed by these people, which is good to have visualization techniques employed. They can see themselves being on the Tonight Show and Good Morning America. But before you play the World Series in Yankee Stadium, you've got to play minor league baseball, and that starts in your own hometown with your local newspaper, with your giving speeches in front of your local Rotary Club and being interviewed on your local television station. Because I can tell you, for the most part, the big entities like The View or Good Morning America and these types of shows don't want to take somebody that on their show that's going to screw up or that's going to have a problem communicating effectively to their audience. They can't stumble and bumble along. They have to be, you know, they have to have a message and they have to have a good delivery and they have to look good. For TV, you got to pretty much look good. You got to look professional, look sharp. Okay. So, and if you have many tapes that you've done or interviews, if you have tapes of interviews that you've done on your local TV, we send that to Good Morning America. And they say, oh gosh, she's wonderful. I can see that. Or, you know what? Keep trying. We'll work, work on this, work on the technique because she doesn't have it down yet. Or he or whatever. So that's the myth, is that they can just walk out and, you know, and just and do these shows and they're all lined up and waiting for them. I think people don't understand how much competition there is out there. That's really one big myth. There is a ton of competition in the space, any space.
Yeah, I was amazed looking at the numbers of how many pitches or how many books that Good Morning America gets.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's more now. I remember one time I got a call from a, and it's 75 a day, 150 a day. I mean, they fill a big bucket and they take them out. They give them to everybody in the lunch break room. All the big shows have just an enormous number of books that come in. Some of the envelopes never even get opened because they know what's in it. They can tell it's a book. I had a guy from a radio show host call me from Bloomberg one time in New York. He said, "Hey, Scott, I've got your book on the guy that's, the business guy. And I love it. I want to get him on the show. I want to interview him." I said, "Okay, great." He says, "You know, I want to read the book though." I said, "Okay." He says, I can't find it. I can't find the book." He says, "I know it's on my desk." I swear to God. He said, "I know it's on my desk, but if you could see my desk, you would see that I have, 200 books. I can't find the book." I go, "I'll mail you a new one." And he goes, "Hey, mail it to my house. Here's my address. Don't mail it here. I'll never see it."
That's funny.
I swear to God. That's what you're up against. That's the reality of it. Okay. And it's really tough. You got it. It's a project. And that's why people pay us pretty good sizable amount of money to do what we do, because it's, we got to maintain relationships and we've got to cut through all the other clutter from all the other people that are out there flogging their people. So
what mind shift do you think our listeners would have to take into account before they, whether it's before they work with someone like you or as they're working with someone like you in terms of pitching? I mean, I have people pitch me to be on the podcast. They're going, "Hey, I'm releasing a book. I want to come and talk about my book." And I'm thinking, well, is that good for my audience? And so you come in talking about your book may be good for you, but it might not be good for the audience. So, what sort of advice do you give people as they're trying to make this decision and move forward in terms of getting their head in the right space?
Well, you've got to have something to say specifically. If it's a how-to book, then you got to tease it out a little bit. Talk about some tips and how to do this, how to build a house. Here's 5 easy tips, or how to buy a house. Here are 3 tips. You can, so you got to give up something to the audience. Number one, be prepared for that. And then the other thing is that people need to be willing to play, like I said earlier, in minor leagues for a while, because you've got to get into that. You've got to get good at the minor league level. You've got to be really good and really proficient so that when you get to the big leagues at Yankee Stadium, you'll be ready to play ball. Okay. So.
Yeah. You don't want to stand there and watch all the pitches go by.
Right. It's like, "Oh, wow, this has been a great experience, Yankee Stadium." But no, you've got to be able to deliver the goods, have a solid message, and offer something of value to the listeners or to the clients or whatever. Did that answer your question or did I go off?
I think you're getting there. I think you're getting there that you need to build a base, which makes sense. So you need to start someplace. And so you need to deal with your local media. And I know I've seen people do that. I've done that. So you develop those relationships. You have some trust. And I think Steve said, Steve Osler at the New Media Summit said, media begets media. So the more attention you get, the more attention you get.
Exactly.
I think is what you're saying. You're starting small. And then you, as you get media attention, you'll get more media attention because of what you've got before.
That is actually true. And it's actually a line I have on my website, which is westwindcos.com. And it's the more you get, PR begets PR. The more you get, the more you get. And it's a absolute truth. Here's the situation. People in the media read other outlets. They read, somebody at Fox News will read the Wall Street Journal. They'll watch CNBC in the morning. And they'll see, "Oh, hey, there's a new book coming out. Oh, God, we got to get that guest. He was so articulate. We need to get him on our show." The media watches other media. They don't want to get beat out, okay? But they want it. If somebody has a good guest, they want to get him too. But there also is a situation where, "Oh, well, he was already in Good Morning America. Well, maybe the Today Show, we don't want him now." I've had that happen. Seriously. They want it. There's some outlets that say, "Well, you could do this outlet first, but you can't do it second." There's a little pecking order at some of these national shows. They don't want to be a me too. So
that makes sense. And I guess that's where having somebody that's got experience in this space could help pick and choose. I mean, the idea of building a relationship and with the media and being interviewed as a trusted advisor or expert, you know, that kind of goes out the window if you send an email to every media outlet in the world.
Yeah, exactly. It's and you know, now some, when you're offering up a guest as an expert on something, it's always good to have breaking news. If we can, like, if you have a expert today that has written a book about Korea, and here's President Trump welcoming the three Korean hostages back from North Korea, this is a breaking news story. So if you are able to tie your book into this event, you've got a North Korean expert, then guess what? You're going to get some action out of that, because people want to talk to somebody who knows something about what's going on in the news. So watch your news. If you're looking for some free advice, watch the news and figure out where your book fits in to breaking news, and then have a press release ready in your hip pocket to send it out. A couple of years ago, we had one with, remember Elliot Spitzer? He was the governor of New York that had a couple of girls on the side there and all that sort of thing. When they did the press conference about his dalliances and his indictment and all that, I had a press release ready to go because I represented a former IRS agent who was now working for businesses to help get him out of IRS trouble. Okay. And I had a press release. I hit send as soon as that conference was over. My client all over, tons of coverage, because we were there ready with a timely story tying into the breaking news. And I've done it a million times, so that was just one that comes to mind.
So I guess there's a couple of messages there. One is pay attention. Like, pay attention to what you read in your local market and see what's newsworthy. And then be flexible in terms of maybe how you pitch your book or your business, if it's, you know, maybe not directly related, but if it's similar and can add value, there might be an easier win or easier opportunity to pick up an interview.
Right. And there's another case where we had a fellow that had a book on Cuba. He was going to Cuba like 20 years ago. He went every year for years, and he had a terrific coffee table book filled with photos, black and white photos of Cuba and the people and everything. So he was an expert. He was an expert. And so here's something we anticipated. Obviously, Fidel Castro wasn't in good health. So we had a press release ready to go, so that when something happened to him, when he slipped and fell or went into the hospital, we had a release that went out that said, hey, if you want to talk to an expert about Cuba, Jack Kenny is the guy, because he's written this book about Cuba and he's visited it 30 times and so forth. And we got traction for him on that. Any other time of the year, people really didn't want to hear so much about Cuba. But because Fidel Castro was in the news, and we could anticipate that. The key is in being able to anticipate what might happen. Okay. And be ready to go with it when it does in fact happen. And then the media is looking for someone to talk about your topic. In this case, it was Cuba again. So
you know, if for our listeners, if this is something that's appealing, I mean, what are typically the steps? So I'm not looking for you to give us your marketing plan of what you do for your clients, but what are typically the steps that a business owner may start to prepare before having a discussion with someone like yourself?
Well, I mean, if you have a book, I mean, this is obviously, or if you have a book that's ready to be published, then you're ready to talk to someone like myself. And I need a copy of it. I need a PDF of it so we could scan it, get a feel for what it is. I need to know that person's credentials. I mean, if you're a fireman and you're writing a book about sewing, I don't know if that's the right connection there. But if you're a business exec and you're talking about, you know, running, you know, major companies, then obviously you're qualified to write about that book. So my first criteria is, who is this person? What are their credentials? Just because you got a divorce doesn't make you a divorce expert, or just because you got married doesn't make you a marriage expert. Okay. So, and people think this stuff comes up, just because you don't like Donald Trump doesn't mean you can just sit there and pontificate about how bad he is. Or if you like him, conversely, the same thing. And you have to, in my mind, have the credibility, because the media asks immediately, what is this? Who is this person? Why are they writing this book? Are they the person best qualified to write a book? And if so, why would I want them on my show? Why now? Why this person? Why today? That's how that whole thing kind of works. But so the person has to have a book ready to go. And then we take a look at it. We interview the client, and we push out. The first thing we do is really create a press kit And then we solicit reviews. Like today, for example, I saw that you sent a note looking for some early reviews for your new book, Three Big Lies. Okay. So that helps get the spin going the right way. So you're doing it the right way. You have a lot of context. You can do that. Most authors don't. So that's where they rely on me to get that early spin going. And then after that, we go solicit the media, TV, radio, newspaper, magazines. And we use all kinds of angles. I've got a book on India right now that I'm using a travel angle. I'm using a direct angle to media in India. And then I'm also using pitching the media about where this person lives in California. So as a hometown person, it's migrated here or immigrated here and working for a major company. And here's his story about how he came to the big city in Mumbai. And now he's in California. And then the name of the book is Mumbai Matinee. And but anyway, so that is it in a nutshell as to what we do. Now, all the rest of it is the secret sauce, and it's the heavy lifting that we do to get attention.
Sure. So, nope, I get that. And that totally makes sense. So, you know, as I said, start with the book, make sure you're doing some PR. And I had heard the reason that most people don't go traditional publishing is because the traditional publishers are going to ask you those. Some of the other questions that you mentioned was how big's your database, how many connections you have on social media. So if you don't have those, it's going to be a tougher slug, but it would make sense. Yeah.
They want a slam dunk. They want a slam dunk. Most of them really don't. They're honestly looking for something that's going to deliver. Someone who has a big social following, social media following, that has a big database of contacts. It makes their job easier, and it makes the likelihood of the book successful. It's likely to be successful because they've got an audience already.
Sure. But I think even if you've got an audience, it makes sense to use PR wherever you can. The opportunity for us that we've seen over and over again with clients has been just huge.
Yeah, it is. And it's free PR is really the most effective in any case. I was speaking to another gentleman there at the podcast convention, the New Media Summit, and he had a brand new book coming out, and he has like 85,000 followers on Twitter, and he announced the book and it became a bestseller.
Sure.
Just to his audience alone, podcast audience and his Twitter audience. Now that fellow, I believe, published the book himself, and that is the power that you have when you end up with an audience. You have power to market and promote your own products and services to a wider audience without going through a publisher. The problem with publishing these days is that even if you get an advance, it's token advance. Let's say it's 10,000, then that goes against future earnings. And if you're making a buck a book or buck 15 a book, you're gonna sell a lot of books to make the 10,000 back. Okay, so traditional publishing is really, really difficult and doesn't pay these days. So if you can self-publish, it's a great way to go.
Well, and I think the other thing is if you don't have a list and you don't have a following, one way to get a list and get a following is organically. And if you've got the local media or even national media covering you, you're going to immediately start to build a following.
Right, right. It's I think there's no instant sauce here. You've got to, it takes work. It takes time. Another tactic that I really like is for people is to get speaking engagements, and then you can sell a book at the speaking engagement. Or do a TED talk. There was a lady for a former National Public Radio host that was from Detroit. She went to Atlanta and she gave one TED talk, but it was so powerful. She got over 1 million views. Then she decided to publish a book on the TED talk. And that thing's selling like hotcakes now. And it's about, topic is about a conversation. It's from Celeste Headlee. And it's a terrific TED talk. Her speeches are excellent, and the book is excellent too. And it's just about how to have a conversation with people. And it's hard to believe there could be a book like that, but she really hit some important points that we seem to have forgotten these days, in the days of smartphones and always on and always looking at your phone and even half listening to your spouse and family and friends. So it's an issue. So, but her TED talk is what propelled her to make a successful book. So I suggest people seriously look at doing TED talks. They're all over the country. You can Google it. They're actually called TEDx. It's TED, small letter X. And these are affiliates of the big TED conference where they bring in, like the Pope or Tony Robbins or, Al Gore to give big talks. but they're localized, and universities have them, some communities have them. And that's a great way to get your message out and also to fine tune your message down to, 7 to 10 minutes and, change the world. And this just happened with Celeste Headlee with her book in the last year or so, maybe the last 2 years. So one great talk with a million views led to this book deal. So.
Well, that's awesome. But I think it's a bigger picture. And the bigger picture is there's a bunch of things you need to do to make this, to squeeze the maximum value. Even doing a TED Talk, as great as TED Talk is, nothing would be better than having a PR engine behind you to further amplify whatever coverage you get, so you can get more coverage.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And here's the thing you got to remember. There is no recipe for this stuff. If there was a recipe, like if you're trying to bake cookies, you sugar, flour, chocolate chips, bake in the oven for 20 minutes for 350 degrees. Hey, you're going to have chocolate chip cookies. That's easy. There is no recipe for book success. You can do a lot of the same things that worked with another book that will not work with a new book. It is just because you're in the fickle world of consumer interest, needs, wants. And it's not always something that your book is not going to always be something that people are looking for. But I mean, who would think you need a book about conversation, for God's sakes? Think about that for a minute.
Well, I know a bunch of people I've spoken to or that I communicate with, and I think there's a need for a book on conversation.
I know, but it's all about, somebody sends an email out. Hey, you got to check this lady. She's got a book. She's talking about conversation and how to have one. And it's a great TED talk. And then it gets sent out to their friends. And who knows, maybe TED gets behind it a little bit. The organization, they push it. There's so many different things. There's no recipe. That's my main point. There's no recipe. So we are always constantly looking for a new way to bake those cookies, so to speak, and to promote a book, and always trying to do different things to get the edge. One thing I love back to Facebook is actually putting the ads or putting a quote from the book that I'm working on Facebook, or with the cover, or maybe I get a quote from a big reviewer or whatever, and we push that out on Facebook, and then I can actually do a sponsored ad and pay $10 or $5 and boost it, and I can send it to a specific audience on Facebook. So let's say the book is something like it's related to fiction fantasy. Well, I could find people who like Harry Potter books and others in that genre, and push this ad to them on their Facebook page. Well, that's pretty slick.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if there's a book about, the James Patterson readers would enjoy, then again, I could name all of James Patterson's books, and I have done this, so I know, name all his books and write his name in there and some other people, John Grisham, that might be in the same space, and advertise my client's book in front of those people. Now, that's pretty slick. You can't do that with hardly anything. It's better than Google. It's better than anything on pay-per-click. And it's better than YouTube. You can't do that with these other things. So it's pretty slick that Facebook has this offering. So,
yeah.
But again, if you're not in tune with that, you'll never even know it exists.
Yeah, you're right. The market's changing, and with remarketing and retargeting and all the stuff that's available, it's tough. I'm excited because I get to live in this world every single day. However, as a business owner, most business owners don't get to spend all their days looking at sales and marketing stuff. They have a business to run. So,
right, exactly. And, I work with a lot of doctors too, and I can't do laser eye surgery, but by gosh, I know how to promote one.
Absolutely.
And back in the day when the LASIK eye surgery first came out, was retained by Windsor Laser Eye Institute, right in Canada. There, right, it's 30 minutes from my door. Okay, and I did the first laser eye surgery live on TV in the Midwest, one of the very first in the country. So the reporter went down on the surgery table, and Dr. Tafor did the surgery live on Fox 2, and just 5 minutes later, the host stood up. He goes, "Oh my God, I can read the clock. It's 4:15. It was amazing. And that is dramatic stuff. And I'm telling you what, the phones rang off the hook back. And that was back when we had faxes. His fax machine was going crazy. And people were booked. Hundreds of calls. Okay. So if you hit a raw nerve with people with the right thing at the right time, you'll get business from it. Okay. And, but the concept of doing it live was the twist, because they had covered, you know, this technique. I know it's hard to believe that laser eye surgery hasn't been around for 100 years, but it, you know, it's 10 years, 15, I don't know, 20 years old or so. But when that first came out, bam, we had that live surgery, and God, that just, it just changed his, it probably changed his life, the doctor's life. It just did an incredible amount of business. So,
well, that's really cool. And that's just a testament to staying current and looking for a new angle to get your message in front of the right audience.
Yeah. And you, one of my clients is a dentist, and he does a lot of, he trains other dentists on how to do dental implants. So we heard about this guy who played in a band in Detroit, and he didn't smile much, but he's a real nice guy, happy guy, but he had bad teeth. And so we came up with the idea of giving him a whole new set of teeth. So we do through dental implants, and using him as maybe some of the doctors, the new doctors that were being trained, and having him be one of the subject matters that they used. Okay. So anyway, long story short, it took a year, but we got him a whole new set of teeth, and the ABC News came out twice, did a huge story, and his phone rang off the hook because of it. And the Dental Association gave him Humanitarian of the Year Award for his work in doing, and that was totally unexpected. That was like, oh my gosh, this is really nice, because of his work helping this fellow out and giving him new teeth. And a guy was really trying to, you know, get back on his feet again and really succeed in life. So, and that is newsworthy. Sometimes people think they just want, hey, get me on the news. Well, you know what? Do something good. Do something important. Help somebody out. Do something that's worthy of getting news coverage. This is one thing a lot of people don't get. They don't understand that they actually have to do something worthy of being covered. And this dentist did something worthy of being covered, Dr. Tim Kaczynski in Detroit. So
there you go. So there you go, listeners. You know, the media is looking to serve their audience, and they're always looking for content. But the question is, what can you do that will serve their audience? And then if you do a good job, then obviously you'll benefit from that as well.
Exactly. And I could go, I have so many different, you know, we've been involved with so many different projects over the years. If you do something worthy, that's newsworthy, you'll get some traction. But, and then it takes a guy like me to help push it out there too. You can't just wink in the dark, as they say. You have to, you know, let people know about it. And we do, without a lot of fanfare, but we do it in such a way that we pitch an individual story. I didn't do a major release on that. I pitched the most likely person to be most interested in that thing. And they said, yes, let's do it. It was a person who covered this type of charitable work for that TV station. Okay.
Yep. So it's no different than any other form of marketing. I mean, you really need to get your message in front of the right audience. You have to have the right audience and the right message. So it's, you know, it's the same principle. You can't just blast your message to everybody.
No. And here's the other thing that's going on. I mean, back in the day, I remember going to the newsroom of the Detroit News, and I saw the mail room, and I saw these giant garbage bags, like the bags that they deliver the mail in, and they're the biggest round, is you can't put your arms around them. They're so big. And there were like 20 bags that came into the mail room that day alone. And I couldn't believe it. And then from there, somebody sorted it out and gave it to the appropriate person. Well, if you're in the newsroom and you get some envelope that says news director, that's a 300 envelopes in a day. So that's when I also realized, wow, this is a waste of time trying to do direct mail. So we went to faxes, then we went to email, and then, you know, the email is less effective now because everyone's bombarded with email. So social media, we're pitching people on social media, but if you're not following the right people, you'll never find them on social media. They don't want to be found on some of them, not their personal stuff, but so they have, some of them have a public persona, and you can find them and pitch them on that. But again, it takes, you've got to be on top of that. It's not just something you're going to do in 5 minutes. You've got to like study it and figure out who these people are and where they are and what their handle is on Twitter. And then there's a whole process.
There is. It's absolutely a project.
It's way more difficult today than it was 20 years ago. It was way easier 20 years ago. Now, interestingly, talking about tactics, I now also do some direct mail because everybody is using email. They're all lazy. So I use I use some direct mail now, and I put that in the mix more so than I have in the past. And it can be very effective, because now they don't have 20 bags of mail in a mail room. They get 2 bags. Okay.
Or they might not have a mail room anymore.
Oh, listen, I talked to some copy editors at another paper, major public, you know, major top 10 city. And they said they had 5 copy editors. Now there's 1. And she just said, it's impossible. There's stuff that goes through that they would have cried about 5 years ago. Now it's just like, okay, you know, we're lucky to get the headlines right. So
that's funny.
It's a different world than newspaper business. I feel bad for all the people there. They are all working harder now than ever before.
Yeah,
because they're doing the work of 5 people, you know?
Yeah. Like you said, the world is changing. It's changing fast. So I always think I'm either moving forwards or backwards. I do not believe for a minute that I can stand still.
No, if you are standing still, you are going backwards. My dad taught me that 50 years ago. Yeah. He said you always have to keep looking for the next thing, the newest thing, and stay ahead of consumer tastes. You have to be ahead of that. He was in the restaurant business, so he was very aware of consumer tastes and what they're interested in. And they don't know what they might be interested in next, but you got to be there and serve it up to them so that they can still do business with you. So.
Well, cool. That is a lot of stuff to digest. So listeners, there you go. Build your foundation, build your base local. So like Scott said, you're going to need to walk before you run, or you're going to need to go play in the minor leagues before you get into Yankee Stadium and look for that grand slam. So Scott, who's one guest that you think I should invite on my podcast?
Oh, I think you got to have Elon Musk. Okay. He is the man, and he's the Thomas Edison of our day. We are so lucky to be witnessing his work, and I hope people appreciate what it is that he's doing, the things with Tesla, the automobile, and of course with SpaceX and all that. He is a visionary guy, and like I say, he's our Thomas Edison, and that's one of the reasons that his stock was so high, because you know it's not often you can buy into a visionary leader like that. Apple is probably the closest company that's in that same space, in the visionary space. Okay. So you got to get him. You should be able to get him.
Yeah. I like him. I read his book, or I listened to his audio book. It was an awesome book. I know he gets a lot of flack. We could do probably a whole episode on how the media one day love him and hate him, but we'll leave that for another day. But I will. And if you bump into him, don't be shy to give him my name.
Well, I'll tell you what, you never know, because I meet some interesting people. I ran into Steve Fawcett one time on the dock of in Chicago at the Chicago Yacht Club. We had just come in from a boating expedition, and Steve Fawcett is the man who flew solo around the world, first one. And I'm also a hot air balloonist, so we had a nice little chit chat. So you never know who you're going to run into. You just have to be ready, you know? So
yeah, be prepared. Yeah, absolutely.
The other guy, you know, that Elon Musk is my first choice for you, but my second choice on equal level would be the Red Bull founder, Dietrich Mateschitz. And he is an incredible individual. I don't know how often he comes to the United States, but that guy is, in my book, he does all these, Red Bull sponsors all these adventure sports and world record attempts. And they are a company on the cutting edge of adventure and excitement all the time. And they are the leaders of this on a worldwide level. So, I mean, they sponsored the guy that jumped out of the space capsule of 115,000 feet. If you recall that a couple of years ago, it was the largest YouTube audience live they've ever had. And that was a Red Bull sponsored activity when Felix, I can't remember his last name, jumped off that capsule and parachuted to the ground, breaking, you know, a record that had stood for 40 years by another fellow. So if you could get him, I think you'd find out a lot about what makes them tick, because it's a heck of a company.
Yeah, they've done very well. So what's the best place for our listeners to find you?
You can find me at bookmarketingexpert.com, book-marketing-expert.com. My blog is book-publicist.com. It's filled with great articles about promoting, you know, marketing a book, promoting a book, how to get awards, how to get a book cover designer, writers conferences, stuff that authors really need. And it's just good material. Everybody that goes there loves it. And then my Twitter handle, and I've got like 34,000 Twitter followers, and is at A Book Publicist. That's at A Book Publicist. And yeah, go on Twitter and look me up and follow me, and I'll follow you back. And I've got good stuff there. Also, mostly focused on authors. That is my area of expertise, my focus. But I also promote iPhone apps. I have iPhoneApppublicity.com. In fact, I've got an app out of Vancouver that I'm promoting soon here. And it's so I've promoted dozens and dozens of apps since it started, you know. So that's a fun thing too.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Well, hey, thanks so much for joining us today. And it was great to connect with you in San Diego. Great to connect with you here in the podcast. Looking forward to getting this published and updated. So listeners, I've got a list here of all of Scott's websites and social media sites. So we'll make sure that we have all of those links within the show notes when we transcribe them. I'd suggest that you head over to iTunes, make sure you subscribe to the podcast, leave us a review, and then make sure you check out the links at the bottom of the show notes and follow up with Scott for more information. So thanks for making time in your day for us today.
Doug, thank you. And thank you to everybody listening too. And I'm going to go, and I've already downloaded your book, Three Big Lies, and I'm going to read it and then write you a review.
Well, excellent. Thank you. There you go, listeners. Just follow exactly what Scott's doing. Just download my book and write me a review. I appreciate it so much. Good to connect. And I'll look forward to circling back and having another conversation with you at a later day.
Very good, sir. Thanks.
That's all for this episode of Real Marketing Real Fast. Now it's time to take your marketing to the next level by visiting DougMorneau.com and downloading our advanced marketing white papers, as well as exclusive resources based on today's episode. That's DougMorneau.com. Until next time, we look forward to serving you right here on Real Marketing Real Fast.